Welcome to The Bridge, your ERG podcast. Our mission is to connect people, purpose, and progress through topics that are relevant to every teammate. And now, this month's host, Crew.
Welcome to this month's episode of The Bridge. I'm your host, Ashley Chantel. We're here with Crew today, getting ready for back to school already. It's kind of hard to believe, but I am here with Ann Clevenger and Reagan Boyer, and we are representing Crew, which is our ERG that is family focused. And we're excited to kind of talk about tips and tricks about making this season of life a little easier for you. So before we get into our questions, we'll go ahead and do a quick intro. So Ann, why don't you get started and tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. So like Ashley said, Ann Clevenger, I am a mom of three. This, I just counted up, will be my 16th year of preparing for back to school. This year, we are preparing to send our oldest off to her first year in college. We also will have a junior in high school and a sixth grader, which will be his last year in the elementary school. Of course, college move-in day also happens to be the first day of school for the others. So it's going to be busy, fun, and interesting.
Like Ashley said, I'm Reagan Boyer, and I am a parent to one child, and he is special needs. And so I've been doing this. He just graduated from high school, so 14 plus years, and we're still going to be doing it for a couple more years here. So lots of experience on this podcast, let me tell you.
Yeah, you guys are a little bit more experienced than me. I have, this is my first time around the block with going into middle school. So I have three kids, and this year we will be in three different schools. So I have an 11-year-old who is going into sixth grade. I have a 9-year-old who will be going into fourth grade, and a 5-year-old who just misses the cutoff for school. So everyone thinks he's in kindergarten, but he really has one more year. So we get one more year of our daycare or luxury car payment, however you call that. But we will be in three different schools this year. So it'll be very interesting in our house come a week or two from now. So today we're, like I said, we're really just going to jump into what does back to school look like for your family, but also recognizing that back to school looks very different for everyone, different locations, different seasons. Some areas start in August and some get the joy of starting after Labor Day. I moved from Minnesota and they used to start in Labor Day, after Labor Day, and I was always jealous of that. But we'll just run through some questions today. And our goal here is really just to help anyone who is venturing through this season of life make it a little easier. And if you're not there yet, but you're a new parent, you will be there at some point. So we hope there's something for you too there. So I'll start with our first question here. So as you think about getting back, transitioning from summer to back to school, what are some ideas that make your morning routine just a little bit easier as you guys make that transition?
I will take that first. Mine is actually not something in the morning to make my morning routine easier. I think that this works as a special needs parent, but for any parent that struggles getting kids ready for school in the morning. So my son Seth always wears joggers and a t-shirt to school, and he gets dressed the night before. Honest to goodness, we get dressed the night before. He sleeps in his clothes. They're not wrinkled or anything, just they look like typical kid clothes. And it saved a lot of headache in the mornings, and that part of him's ready to go. We do his bath, get him ready for the next morning. And it was honestly life-changing. And my rule is, and unless I've tried it, I never judge anybody else's decisions on what they do to get their kids ready in the morning. It was a matter of survival for us. And truly, it was life-changing. Not kidding.
I love that, Reagan. It's, it's one of those things where oftentimes for many kids and parents, the outfits are a battle. And when they're younger, when they're older, it's more like, is that appropriate for weather or this type of thing? So if you've already taken care of that the night before, then that's one less thing to have to worry about in the morning. I love that. One tip I would add for myself is, especially when they were younger, we always made sure to adjust our bedtime earlier, at least a week or two ahead of time, just so that it wasn't such an abrupt change. We didn't want to wait until the weekend right before school was starting to be like, oh, you know what, you guys, we need to get back into this routine. We just always tried to make that more of a gradual change so that they were getting used to going to bed earlier and waking a little bit earlier. And then also as they've gotten older, they're a little bit, not as much about the bedtime, but I've also encouraged them to get as much ready the night before as possible. So they're, a lot of times they have the activities in the morning, like we have marching band practice or weightlifting in the morning. If they can get as much ready as far as their, their outfits or their gear or their anything they need, as much as they can do the night before, then the easier it is in the morning on everyone.
Yeah, and similar to getting ready a little bit ahead of time, the one thing that, especially as an elementary school parent, the first couple weeks back are always, what day do we have PE? And memorizing kind of the special schedule. And so one of the things that we try to do is at the beginning of the week, outline, okay, you've got PE on Tuesday and Friday, and for one kid, and they're old enough, my two are old enough that they can remember. And so we kind of outline that schedule. And then eventually it becomes second nature to them, but really setting out, this is the expectation, similar to what looking ahead at the weather. It's going to be rainy on Tuesday. We're going to need to remember our jackets so that it's not something we're going to have to remember on Tuesday morning. We've already talked about it and we know, okay, it's going to be a little bit colder today, so I can't walk out with shorts and a tank top, or especially when the weather and back to school can vary so greatly. It can be 100 degrees or it could be, 55 and rainy. And so being able to adjust and not think, well, once you wear your clothes out the door to school, you're not changing like you had the privilege of doing all summer. So the other thing that I will say, and this isn't necessarily a morning routine either, but we last year I finally broke down and I went back to a paper planner. And for us, that has made a big difference. I always manage it out of my digital, Outlook calendar, but having a physical calendar, so it takes a little bit of extra work, but writing it down so that everyone could see, okay, here's what's going on for the week. It helped everyone kind of get on the same page as, oh, shoot, we have this activity that that's starting up again, or we have Girl Scouts every other week. So I think just having the paper planner, it's working for us right now. In a couple years when our kids are driving, it probably won't, but paper planner for now. So.
When they get to that point, you can do a shared like Google Calendar with all the activities, or each person has theirs and you can see them. It works awesome. We do that all the time.
Okay, I'll take notes because yeah, we're not to the stage where everyone has phones yet, but that when we are, I think it will be a game changer. Okay, so kind of along that, but not necessarily morning specific, what are some tips that make your week run smoothly?
So I'll tag right along to what you were both just talking about with the calendars. And Ashley, I was going to say, I mean, I go for the old school big calendar on the wall, and it's got a big view for the month, and I'm able to then visibly put it where the whole family can see it. We don't have everyone with phones yet either, and so it's a good way for us to just have everything out there. Anyone can add to it, obviously. And then I find during our busiest seasons, when it seems like every single family member has something going on specific nights, I get the colored highlighters out and we are highlighting, and it's color-coded by person, so we know who needs to be where and what. So that definitely is a must for our family. Also, we like to spend some time just before the week gets started. So like on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, if we're able to sit down together for a meal and just talk to the family, like just kind of get a game plan, just set expectations for what's going to go on. I know, especially with my youngest, he just likes to know, who's going to be where and what. And if he just has kind of an idea in his head, it helps him feel better about what's coming up for the week ahead, and a little bit less anxiety and less nervousness about just kind of knowing what's going to be happening.
Yeah, we do something similar when we walk. We usually take a mile long walk after dinner on Sundays, and that's just helpful to be like, okay, we're sitting here. We can just debrief what's in our head about what's coming up for the week and get on the same page. So, Reagan, what about you?
I do a lot of meal planning, and so knowing, and I just have the week written out, and then looking at that Google Calendar on my phone of, if somebody's going to be gone in an evening or whatever. Knowing if I'm cooking or if we're, it's a great night for leftovers because we've got people in different places, that sort of thing. And that helps me, one, keep my grocery bill less and my eating out bill less, but two, just, or if I'm not there, somebody else, my husband knows that, okay, I'm responsible for meals tonight. So, that's been a game changer for us. I think it helps if you're a planner, and I am by nature, so that probably comes easy to me, but I know some other people probably are like, oh gosh, I can't even imagine.
Well, you're speaking my language. I am absolutely a planner. The thing I was going to say though is in back to school season, that's where I tend to just go with the back to the basic meals that I know are easy, we know we like. I'm not going to have mealtime battles. Because like in, you know, when you have a little bit more time in the summer, I tend to let my kids go to bed later. So it's like if we don't get dinner on the table till 7 in the summer, that's not a big deal. But in the school year, that's a big, especially with the 5-year-old who is not getting quite enough sleep, right? If we go to bed that late all year. So that would be what I tend to do is just stick to, you know we like these tried and true recipes. We know how to make them. We don't have to look them up. And then eventually, once you have your routine figured out, then it's like, okay, we can, last year for us, Mondays, very quickly, 2 weeks in the school year, we're like, okay, Mondays are crock pots. That is the only kind of meal we can eat on a Monday because we were just trying to run from piano to basketball and church. And we were like, nope, it's got to be a crock pot. So you learn those things pretty quickly, I think, after you have one rushed meal or one late practice that you adjust. Okay, so switching gears a little bit, but as they come home, and I think in elementary school it's probably more than middle school and high school. I don't know, maybe it stays the same, but there's a lot of paper that come home, right? Right? There's artwork, there's papers to sign. How do you have a good way of organizing those kind of the school papers, but also those mementos that you might want to keep without getting overwhelmed? And I'm going to listen really closely because I'm looking for the silver bullet here.
I don't know that there is one, and I think it depends on everyone. Our days are kind of chaotic, and so honest to goodness, like I did it the old-fashioned way, like if it was memento stuff and just a folder in the file cabinet, just threw it in there, and then like at the end of the year or whenever you have time, you can go back through it and say, okay, this isn't as important as I thought it was, or those kind of things. And then my mom had a rule as far as like kids' artwork on the fridge or things like that. So if you're always having kids want to put stuff on the fridge, anything that was up there for a week, and then it had to go down. So then you can put it in your folder, or it can get thrown away, or kid can take it, whatever. But otherwise, there's tons of things that kids are pretty proud of, and your fridge gets overloaded. So
Yeah,
those
the
are my
tuck and
tips.
roll was my mom's trick. You gotta throw it away in the garbage when they're not looking and make sure they can't find
That too.
it. And they will find it, just by the way. For us, because there are some things. So we with what, having one that just graduated, I'm glad that we had certain things to be able to display, but I also realize, oh wow, I saved way too many things. When I'm looking back through her things and I'm like, why do I have, spelling tests from first grade? Like, this is ridiculous. So I think, like Reagan said, like, it's okay that I set stuff aside, but I need to make sure that I go through, at the end of the year, let's go through it and only keep, those few things that are really going to be something that I want to keep. They do sell, and I have for each of my kids. It's a little bit larger. I mean, it's not huge. It's a nice size. It's like an accordion folder for like artwork. And so that's been something fun to be able to just keep a few pieces throughout the years, and be able, and they love to be able to look back and see those. It fits nicely in a closet. So that's something that I have. And then I just have kept one clear tote for each child. Now that I've learned, okay, there's no reason to keep all those things, and I've been able to go through, that's something there. I also do want to make a suggestion. Again, with one ha having one just graduated, and we had the party where we wanted to display each year's school photo, and we had really good intentions. It was order an 8x10 each year, and when she started, it was still a little bit pre-digital, like they weren't all digital files at the time, so a lot of them were just the printed files. So we got ready to plan all this, and I'm missing kindergarten and first grade, and so what do I do? Luckily, I had a mother, my mother-in-law was able to pull those out, and she saved the day for me. So my suggestion there is keeping a digital folder, like, out on Google, wherever you keep your pictures, and keep a digital folder for each of your kids with their school photo in it. That way you have them all when you need them.
Good
Yeah,
tip.
I actually had a friend, a girl up the street from me was similarly hosting a graduation party, and she gave me a great piece of advice because I am very good at organizing digitally. I'm not great at organizing paper artwork. But digitally, she said, when you have a car ride for an hour or two, spend some time going through recent photos and saying, these are the 5 or 10 that I really love, and put them in a special folder because 18 years worth of photos, and I mean, let's be honest, we have so many photos of our kids that it's a lot to go through. So she said, break that up into small chunks, and start building their graduation file. Everett's 5; he's not going to graduate from high school for 13 years, but it's nice that I have some of those things. So as I have time, I try to do that a little bit. My other suggestion, and this is maybe not so helpful because the question was without becoming overwhelmed, but I do struggle with this a lot. I do get overwhelmed with the paperwork, and I have the best of intentions. I set it aside, and then I see this paper pile growing and growing, and I don't know what to do with it. So my suggestion is just to lower your standards, and be okay with maybe, you know what, they aren't going to remember that in the first grade they did this art project about, XYZ thing. They're going to remember, that you were, there for them at their basketball games, and that's way more. And so I have had to struggle through that. I did take a few. There's a few really funny ones that my daughter has come home from school where she's throwing shade at her like sister, like in a story or something. And so those are pretty funny. We capture those, but a lot of times I'll snag a picture because I can handle the digital copy of it easier. So.
Yeah, the pictures are great. They honestly are. And they worked well in the slideshow too. So pictures of artwork in slideshow is just as good and doesn't take up as much space on the wall when you're trying to display things. So
Yeah,
good
one of the
idea.
gals in crew, she's not here with us today, but I know she's talked about there's like books that she takes a picture of like the artwork that they come home, and then they make like essentially like a Shutterfly book. I think there's companies that do that. That's really popular. So
I
I'd
love
say
that.
get to know kind of what your thing is, what you enjoy. And I have had to accept that my third child will not have the same school memories book as his two older sisters, but that does not mean I love him any less. It just means that I have become more aware of my time and my capacity as a mother. So. All right, switching gears, we are going to do a little rapid fire question. So, thinking about getting back to school, thinking about, all the things that comes with, what is your go-to meal on a chaotic week?
Mine is tacos. And the reason I say that is we always have beef in the freezer, so I can defrost it really quick in the microwave. And we usually have some sort of tortilla chip in our house. And so, like, it might not even be tacos, it might be nachos, but we'll either have taco shells or tortilla chips. I don't think I've ever ran out of cheese in my life in the house. So,
Same.
no problem there. So, like, I usually have all the ingredients to make those, and it's a pretty quick meal. So that's our when we get home and it's crazy or plans changed and we have less time than we thought, that's my go-to.
Okay, copy paste. We did not share with each other what we were going to answer, but that is
Oh.
exactly what I was going to say. So, like, we also have beef in our freezer, and ground beef is super easy. So, like, I just doing up a whole bunch of taco meat is like the way to go on in a busy week, and then it's there for tacos or nachos or taco salad or whatever. So that's the same as Reagan.
Okay, well, I'll switch it up. I won't say tacos. Ours is actually pepperoni bubble up, which sounds maybe like if you're not familiar with that, it's essentially like biscuit dough and pizza sauce and pepperoni and cheese. And it is a fan favorite. We used to be able to make it and have leftovers for later in the week. Now we eat so much of it that like there's no leftovers, but it's just every one of my children loves it. We throw a vegetable with it. It's easy, it's quick. Everyone can get on there with their evening after a good meal. And so that one, we're also planners in our house. We like to plan, but the kids know if they want a meal that they haven't had in a while, they just say, like, they'll ask for it and I'll say, put it on the meal plan. And so pepperoni bubble up is one. If we haven't had it in, 2 or 3 weeks, they'll say, can we put pepperoni bubble up on it? But if you don't like pepperonis, there's also like lots of variations of bubble ups. You can do chicken Alfredo, taco, you can do all sorts of things. The recipe is pretty easy to modify. Okay, so as your kids are getting into school and you're having communications with teachers and school, What might be a tip that you have if your child needs some additional support?
So our youngest oftentimes had maybe some like discipline or behavior issues that we would be addressing with teachers. So for us, like it was always really important to meet the teachers at the beginning of the year. Our school does offer like a back to school night where we're kind of unpacking their backpack and getting to meet them. And obviously they're meeting all the other kids, so there's not a lot of time, but just kind of giving them a brief, like just quick introductions, and then asking what is their preferred like method of communication, because I can be flexible, and most of the time it seems like it's email. There's times where I know if I get a phone call, I know it's something serious, but willing to take, those phone calls and emails. And I do think it's just a lot about communication and finding out what works best for each individual teacher.
Yeah, I would say that very similar, Anne. And we dealt with behavior challenges, and then just other things, that comes along with, having a child with autism. Some teachers would send home a communication notebook, and so they would write notes. I could write a response if they had questions or anything, or if it was just like a hey, just so you know. I think it was nice because then they weren't having a phone conversation in front of my son, or I wasn't. Like, it didn't get brought up again. It was done and over with. Or we had an email group that might be teacher, parent. If your child has any, paras or anything that are involved with day-to-day things, or multiple teachers. So we did that a lot as well, and just depending on the year and the teachers involved.
Yeah, I was going to say my tip is really I try to establish very early on in the school year that we want to be seen as partners, right? And I think parenting and teaching are very difficult jobs. I think we can all attest to that. And so I think when we think of additional support, a lot of times our mind goes to disciplinary support, but there's also support where I need more challenge for my daughter, or maybe I'm having a friend situation that we need a little bit of monitoring on. And so really establishing early on, like, hey, I'm here to help you. If you've got concerns with what's going on, let me advocate for them, in our conversations. But also, if they hear my concerns, I feel like we can really establish that partnership. And I think that's just a really important aspect of dealing with the things that you just don't know what's going to come your way. Every child is a little different. Every teacher is different. And finding that relationship at the beginning of the school year can be challenging because you're two people who are getting to know each other, essentially, and a whole class full of them. Okay, so for our fifth question here, so I'd be curious if you were, Anne, you've had one that, or you both have had one that graduated high school, actually. And so what do you wish you had known? Go if you fast, you go, rewind 13 years, what do you wish someone had told you as you were starting your back to school journey?
I think from a special needs parent perspective, and I think this can go with anyone, and it kind of tags along what you said with, friends issues or things you want teachers to know, that kind of thing, or can, is pick your battles, whether it's with your kids or
Amen.
whether it's with the school. Like, there's some things that early on I would be upset about, and call someone at the school or send an email to a teacher. And I think now, with that relationship process of, that we're a team, and just, picking my battles a little bit, or I'll be like, yeah, I think I'm just going to sit this one out because, something else may come up that's more important than this. So I think that with your kid, getting dressed in the morning, or relationship with the school, because it truly takes a team.
It only took one
For
year of
sure.
kindergarten for me to come to the conclusion that I was not going to worry about whether we wore green for Gretna Spirit Days at all. Like, she is clothed, she is at school, that is all that matters. And whether I would give her the option, do you want to wear green or not? But I was not going to wear, I was not going to pick that battle with her because she was very strong-willed.
I have two tips I would like to share. The first one's a little one, but it's just something that I like to throw out there. If your school or a local group, like your PTA or PTO groups, offer any sort of like back to school supply kit that's that pr that is pre-made up according to what your school requires for supplies, I highly, highly recommend getting that. It saves so much headache and just even argument, even the battles with the kids as far as what color pencils or this or that. It's just already made up. It's all there. So I highly recommend that if that's an option, do that. My other tip I would like to mention is we've talked a lot about like back to school and what that looks like to like physically be ready and have, you know, all the things in plan. But I just like to mention that, especially with the bigger transitions, you know, kindergarten, middle, high school, college, it's a lot of times it's emotionally and mentally like a challenge as well. So just keep in mind that like our kid, like, I mean, it's a challenge for us as parents going through that transition. So just trying to remember, like, for them, they're going through a whole new thing, trying to get used to new teachers, new friends, new schedules, and all the things as well. So just a lot of grace those first few weeks for everyone, including the little ones who may show those emotions in ways that aren't, you know, aren't very fun for the parents, but it's important to remember they're going through a lot as well.
Yeah, I one time I saw a picture. We were talking about it in crew where it was at the first day of school and the kid was, you know, really happy and smiling and they were great for the first day. And then at the end of the day, they just looked like their outfit was torn apart. They were demolished. Like
A
they've been
mess.
through a lot. And especially like when, you know, that first day of kindergarten, they're like, some of them, you know, it's a big change. So definitely grace and know that every day, I'd say to add on to that, Ian, if you have a bad day, one day in your week, especially, let's say it's Monday, don't let that bad day continue and have rough mornings all week because it can really be a bad cycle if you kind of get stuck on that. And so we always, you know, if we had a bad morning where we didn't get out the door on time or someone was upset, we would say in the car, we'd try to, you know what? We're here, but tomorrow, you know, we're going to have a good day at school today
Yep.
and tomorrow we're going to do better. And I think that is a framing that frame of mind because it can be especially mentally challenging if you're having several days in a row, either for the kid or for the parent or both.
Absolutely.
For my tip, I would say I actually had a friend recently just asked me this. So she is sending her first to kindergarten, and in all spring she's been talking to me about, you know, well, what about the bus schedule and what about this? And I, you know, I've been telling her answers to that. I said, but my biggest advice would be to know that every school year requires an adjustment. There has not been one school year that has ever had the same routine for us. That may be because the school time changed, the bus route changed, job, we have, you know, a different school in the mix, all sorts of different things. And so every year, you know the basic foundation, right? You've got to get up, got to eat, get dressed, get out the door. But that looks different, right? We have different preferences and different schedules. And so knowing that the first few weeks for everyone, no matter who is that, who are you are with, is going through an adjustment, it helps to, you know, kind of put you in the right mindset. So I think that too, even I didn't know that, you know, we're thinking we get so focused on getting ready for school in August, but what I didn't realize as a first-time parent either was that in by January, I need to be thinking about summer again. It feels like
Yes.
we just got the routine mastered, and here we are, like, what summer camps are you going to book? And so that is the other piece. I was shocked when they were like, yeah, camp registration is, you know, the last week in January. I said, for this summer. And so I think that was something I was very thankful that someone did tell me so I didn't miss out. But that can be a difficult job. We've talked in crew actually about how we want to do maybe a seminar in the future about planning for summer, different tips, camps, different things that we've strategies for finding what to do in between those school years. All right. Well, with that, I think that wraps up our session today. I have learned so much just from the two of you. It's very clear that this is something that you are very experienced in, and I think it listening to you guys share your tips and tricks is hopefully helpful to someone as they embark on this back to school session in August and September. I always look forward to seeing people's pictures on the first day of school. I do know that those pictures sometimes can be hard to get every year, but I always just enjoy like it's a fresh start and a chance to look forward to what's coming. So with that, I think we'll just kind of take a moment to wrap up and say what's coming up next for Crew. So Crew is got a busy fall ahead, so back to school that won't stop us now. So we are going to start September off actually with a meal focused activity. So we'll have what we call Sheet Pan September,
And so there's going to be lots of quick and easy recipes that we can share, especially for those weeknights where you've got places to be. So that'll be happening in Viva Engage, or Yammer as it previously was called. So check that out in September. We had huge success with Crockpot. I think it was called Crocktober last year. And so
Yes.
lots of activity there. And then also for our older kids, we have an activity. We have a Strengths for Students seminar coming up. And so there'll be a chance to sign up. They get to take the Clifton Strengths test and learn about how they apply those strengths as a student, but then also for parents, how to maximize their strengths as a parent and really help them shine. So, all right, well, thank you so much for listening today, and look for us on Viva Engage. We've got a very active crew page out there, lots of activities coming your way, and we are excited and wish you the best of luck as you return to school this year. Thanks.